Now, the Goldbergs. The best of us can sometimes find a depth of cruelty in our natures which is beyond belief. And tonight, as Sammy faces Sylvia Allison and Dr. Kitter, he told the psychologist that Sylvia is in love with Dr. Kitter, and that Dr. Kitter encouraged her love deliberately as part of the girl's cure. And now Sammy's still speaking, not even hearing what he says himself.
Please. Sylvia, you're falling in love with Dr. Kitter. Isn't she, Doctor? Well, why don't you tell her it's part of the cure? Why don't you?
Sammy, please, Sylvia, go upstairs.
Why don't you tell her, Dr. Kitter, before she really thinks it works two ways?
Sylvia, go upstairs. Go to bed.
Go, Sylvia. The master has spoken. Go upstairs. You should be in bed by now, full of sweet dreams of Dr. Kitter.
Go on, Sylvia. Good night.
Ma, I want you to go upstairs, please. I want to talk to Dr. Kitter.
Might as well, Mrs. Goldberg. Sammy's having a fine time.
Yes?
Say,
dear, come, we'll go upstairs. Come, dear. Sammy and the doctor are going to have a little conversation.
I hope in your conversation, Dr. Kater, you'll find a word of consideration for somebody else other than Sylvia.
Yes.
There are other people in this house other than Sylvia. Our past behavior and our present actions make me very uninterested in her future. Remember that.
Yes, please, dear.
I only hope, Doctor, that your present interest in Sylvia is purely psychological.
Yes.
I know your father for many years. And I don't want him to go through what we went through.
Yes, yes,
if you don't love it, her, Doctor.
Oh, will you go on, please?
I'm sorry, Doctor. With all your knowledge, you couldn't escape us.
Yes.
Reading books and living life are two different things, Doctor.
Oh, please, it's enough. You said enough.
Not better, but I should say.
Leave it for some other time, Mr. Goldberg.
Good night, Doctor. I'm very sorry. Good night. Yes, please. Yes.
Quite a bombardment. Now let's sit down and catch our breath. Will you have a cigarette?
No.
It won't obligate you to be nice to me.
I don't smoke.
Oh. Well, in that case, I won't either. I don't want to have any advantage of you. You were rather nasty, you know.
Sylvia's in love with you.
Nonsense.
Maybe you'd better see a doctor then. Plain as day.
Only if you're jealous. Mind, Sammy, and you're a jealous mind. I'm surprised you didn't try to beat Sylvia or kill her or something equally persuasive. Why did you only try to make her miserable? What kept you back?
I don't think you can afford to be sarcastic.
Hmm?
I know you're quite an expert in your line, but when the doctor is sick, he can't diagnose his own case.
That's an interesting theory, and quite true.
He is in love with you.
And I can think of a dozen better reasons for her not wanting to marry you. For instance, you're infantile.
Thank you.
You're a bright young man with the emotional status of a 14-year-old boy.
That seems to be enough for the present situation.
Perhaps, but let's try to advance a little. Hmm?
Why don't you be honest?
Very well, I'll make a bargain with you. You answer a few questions of mine honestly, and I'll do the same for you.
Mm-hmm. Just a little psychological game?
Yes, very popular. To give you confidence, I'll let you ask first. Go on. Sammy, the answer to your first question is, I could.
Are you in love with Sylvia?
You mean, could I fall in love with her? I probably could.
Are you?
Honestly, I couldn't answer that. But I could. She's quite lovable. Is there anything else you want to know?
Is she in love with you?
I don't know yet.
She is.
She could be in love with me. I'm very lovable, too.
I thought you were serious.
Don't you think so?
I hadn't considered it.
Well, then do it. It's very amusing. Yes, I think I'm quite lovable. In a small, unobjectionable way. Anything else?
No.
Then turn about. Now, Sammy, my first question. Suppose that Sylvia did fall in love with me and I with her. Would you let her go gracefully?
That's stupid.
Be honest.
No.
Why? Don't you think I'm as good a man as you are?
What's that got to do with it?
Everything. I could make her happy. And she could, with proper care, make me happy. What's your objection? Don't you want Sylvia to be happy? Huh? Don't you? You don't, do you? Honestly, now. You want her to be miserable and sick and unhappy. You want her weeping and crying after you, don't you? You do.
Maybe.
You're ashamed to say yes. And you despise yourself for it. Do you know why you want to pleasure yourself that way?
I don't know.
Shall I tell you? And if I tell you, will you admit it to be true? If it sounds true to you? Very well. To begin with, there's one person in the world whose good opinion you value more than anyone else's. And quite properly. Your mother. Her mind is a little like yours, only balanced and mature. She loves what is dignified and proper and kind in the world. And she loves intellect and wisdom. Because I suppose you never had a chance at the formal exercises in it. Am I right?
What of it?
When Sylvia took you for that little ride, when you decided to love and marry Sylvia, your mother objected. Because she knows the way of the world. She knew that Sylvia was a selfish little animal. But you knew it, too. You wanted to show your mother how smart you were, how right you were, how superior. You rushed into it. You decided to give up your writing, everything, for the sheer satisfaction of showing your mother what a great big adult you were. And each crisis that showed how right your mother was merely made you all the more determined to be right yourself. And Sylvia is the means. You're going to make Sylvia toe the mark. You're going to make her be what you want her to be. You don't give a hang for her or what she is or what her future might be. You're going to show your mother that Sammy is always right. Isn't that so? Am I right?
And if you are?
If you are, then you should take your character into your hands and give it a strict going over. Because, Sammy, you're violating the one fundamental rule of human society. Yes, of the morality that makes us the inheritors of this earth. That unites us against tyrants and idiots and egotists of this earth. We who are sane and normal and healthy stand apart in all our hundreds of millions against those who would use us as slaves and machines. You see, we say every human being is an end, not a means. Every human life is an absolute worth. Every feeling, an absolute value. Every human hope, an absolute end. We live for ourselves by living for each other. Those who don't are our enemies. Do you, in this small way that you picture yourself, want to live with the enemies of plain people everywhere? Answer that for yourself. I'm only a doctor, not a priest or a country. Good night.
For Sammy, this is like looking into a mirror and hearing the self reflected. Come to life and speak. But he has no words. And in the silence, Dr. Cater departs.